Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You done fell right down that rabbit hole, so reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder, mayhem, tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Paul, and their dog Ninja.
Hey guys, it's Jerry from Hillbilly Horror Stories. You know we always try to turn you guys on to the best paranormal podcasts out there. With that said, do you like stories of the strange, the weird, and the unexplained? Then we want you to check out Jim Harold's Campfire. It's definitely one of the best paranormal podcasts out there, and it's on the top of my favorites list. What makes it so great? It's that the concept is pretty simple. Jim just talks to regular people like you and me. They talk about all the strange stuff that happens to them for 90 minutes every week. He doesn't exaggerate or play a lot of spooky music. The stories speak for themselves. These stories cover everything from ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, and some head scratchers. For example, there's a story involving serial killer Ted Bundy. There's also a story about an alien abduction that may have been by a reptilian. And there's one young man who encountered an eight-legged demon. That's right, an eight-legged demon. Now, not all these stories are horrifying. Some are heartwarming, like a visit from a past loved one or a peaceful near-death experience, perhaps. I was lucky enough to share my heartwarming story about two bikers who delivered a message to me from my passed-on mother. These stories are true and fascinating and told by ordinary people who've had extraordinary experiences. Tune in to Jim Harold's Campfire on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Trust me, it's going to be your new favorite. Hey guys, welcome to episode 296 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy?
Yes, my love.
Obviously, we want to thank all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thank you for all that you do to keep us safe.
Amen. You guys have really been having to go at it hard here lately, and we just continue to pray for you guys. thank you guys so much for protecting our country. We are so thankful for you guys. You just don't know. So prayers come in still. Just come home safe.
And Tracy, obviously we want to make sure it's never understated that if you're struggling right now mentally for whatever reason, we want you to reach out to us. If you can't reach out to us or don't feel comfortable, reach out to the group. Friends, family members, just make the call.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. We are here for you all 24/7. And don't feel like you can't reach out to us, because if we just need somebody to talk to and then we don't even say a word, sometimes that's the best help at all that, you know, if nothing else we can give you. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, you can call 1-800-273-8255. You can also text 741-741. But we're here for you guys. We love you. Our group is here for you guys. Always reach out.
Yeah, we've spent the entire weekend helping out a friend, and we're just glad that that person made the call.
Absolutely. And I don't know why I said guys like 100 times, so sorry, y'all.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Tracy, in this episode, we're going to talk about the Perryville battlefield.
Okay, Perryville. Where's that at? That sounds familiar.
Perryville is south of us.
Okay, that's why it does then.
Yeah, so if you go through like Winchester and Nicholasville mm-hmm. and all that, or actually through Nicholasville, you'll eventually get there. It's about 1 hour and 15 minutes from us, not very far. And I've been saying for a long time, we're going to go. We've actually had a couple of invites to go there for an investigation. And Eddie invited us out to an investigation, okay. But we couldn't go at the time.
Oh, darn.
So we'll probably end up hooking up with Eddie to do that. But, yeah, I mean, it's the next best thing to Gettysburg as far as closest to us, because this place is loaded with stuff. So, the battlefield, the Perryville battlefield is in Perryville, Kentucky. Now, we're also going to hear from Hunter Redfern, which is a cool name.
It is.
He's one of the stars of the upcoming movie, The Wendigo.
Nice.
This is like a one of those found footage films. Mm-hmm. But he'll tell you a little bit about the movie. Of course, he can't give away a lot. It's not due out until October. And I think what we're going to do is, after this thing hits the film circuits out there with the film festivals and all that stuff, we're going to try to get him and two or three others on the show at the same
How
time.
How fun will that be?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
But it looks like I got to see the trailer, and I'm going to put the trailer out. So by the time you hear this, just go to Hillbilly Horror Stories, the page or the group. And I'll have the trailer out for both of them, so you can kind of see what it is. But
good.
It's right now in the polishing up stage, editing, and stuff like that. So we're also going to touch base today on the actual Battle of Perryville. But the main focus today is going to be on the paranormal aspects, because there are a lot of them.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. So for those of you that are unfamiliar, we'll at least give you the basics of it. So the Battle of Perryville, also known as the Battle of Chaplain Hills, was fought during the Civil War on October 8th, 1862. 1,422 people lost their lives on that
day.
Oh,
wow, that's a lot.
An additional 5,534 were wounded, and another 665 were either listed as missing or captured.
Whoa. So
over 7,000 people that day were affected either by injury, death, or missing or captured.
That's insane.
The Confederate Army eventually won this battle. Now, here's the basics. On October 7th, 1862, Major Don Carlos Buell's, his army was from Mississippi, and they approached the crossroads town of Perryville, Kentucky. Union forces had skirmished with Confederates on the Springfield Pike before the fighting began on Peter Hill. Now, the next day, the fighting continued as the Union division advanced up the pike. But after noon, a Confederate division attacked the Union, the Union's left flank, and they made them fall back. Now, more Confederates soon joined, and the Union decided to make a stubborn stand. So even though they were kind of outnumbered, they dug in their heels and said, you know what, here we go. So the Union countered, but eventually they retreated. Now, reinforced on their left, Union troops stabilized their line, and the Confederate attack sputtered to a halt. But later, three more Confederate regiments assaulted a Union division on the Springfield Pike, but then they fell back into Perryville. This is how it all gets to Perryville. Bragg, being short of men and supplies, he decided to withdraw during the middle of the night. So the battle was a Confederate tactical victory, to say the least, but Bragg retreating effectively ended the battle.
Okay.
So they just decided, we're just going to get the hell out of Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
Or Perryville, in this case.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk ghost.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, there are several stories of hauntings at the Perryville battlefield. We're going to start with 1996. There's a place there called the Bottoms House. Now, it was bought by a group called the Perryville Enhancement Project. There's a lot of old buildings on the site that obviously needed to be taken care of. This is one that they bought to restore. They wanted to restore it back to its grandeur of 1870. The problem was they only had one picture to work from, and that showed them what the outside looked like. They had the clapboard roof put on, and they stripped all the walls down to the original beams. The crew was surprised to find several bullet holes in the walls. I don't know why they would be surprised.
Yeah, well.
I think some of it had already been updated. So when they pulled some of the stuff down, they had seen the other, the bullet holes in the older walls, whatever it was. One of these bullets had went from the outside of the upstairs bedroom through the mid wall and lodged into the back wall. That's a lot of coverage.
A lot of wood to go through.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, yay.
They get to the attic and they find a blood-stained original door from the house. Now, they believe that this door may have been used as an amputation table used by a doctor by the name of J.J. Polk.
Wonder why they left that there, I wonder.
I don't know. But this thing was, I mean, you got to figure this would have been over 100 years from the time that it would there and it's been in that house all this time.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's a good find.
During the grand opening celebration of the Bottoms House, they had a Civil War reenactment. Some of the reenactors that were, some of which were portraying the 15th Kentucky Troops and the 3rd Ohio Troops, they actually stayed in the home. One of the reenactors said that he became deathly ill as soon as he entered the house.
As soon as he went in?
As soon as he got in. He said he smelled a sweet, putrid odor, almost like the smell of blood was permeating through the house.
Ah, that sounds terrible.
He had to rush outside to vomit. But he gets outside and he doesn't vomit because instantly he feels better and everything went away. He didn't know the history of the Bottoms House either. So there was no reason for him to know that, you know, this was used as a hospital during the battle.
Did he ever go back in, I wonder?
I don't have that information. Another reenactor stayed upstairs. He said during the night, he didn't hear anything unusual. But when he woke up and walked downstairs, some kind of force tried to push him down the stairs.
I don't know about these ghosts. They're rude as hell.
Yeah, wait till we go there.
Oh, you gonna let one push me down the stairs?
I'm not gonna let it. But I mean, if it happens, it happens. I mean, what can I do? It's a ghost. Anyways. The year before, in 1995, a group of Confederate artillerists, they asked the park manager there, the park director, if they could actually fire on the battlefield at nighttime. There's a reason why they want to do this, because apparently it's pretty cool. But they get the okay. And the cannon firing at nighttime, they said, shows the true glory of the raw force of the weapons that was used during the Civil War. You can see the sparks fly because it'd be a night. And you can see bright orange, white, and red fire actually coming from the cannon.
Oh, I mean, that's cool. But are they just firing to fire? They don't know who they're firing at? Or
well, there's nobody. There's not going to be anybody there. They'll be the only ones there because the park's closed.
Oh, okay. They're just doing it to see that.
Yeah, they're just doing it because it's cool.
Okay, so, okay.
Another cool thing is they said that the sound actually travels for miles when you fire off that cannon, which my ex-wife can attest to. It's an inside joke. So the smoke then layers itself and it creates an eerie effect. The cannon had been left on the battlefield near the Parsons battery location where a reenactment had taken place earlier that day. So okay, that's where it was already left. Mm-hmm. So they just had to go. They didn't have to haul it in or nothing at nighttime. It was already there.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's helpful.
The cannons were placed where what would have been the actual location during the battle. So right down the hill from where Union General Jackson was actually killed is where these cannons were set up. Well, five members of the artillery crew got everything all set to go around 9:30 p.m. They brought their children and their wives along for just to see the spectacle because it was going to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they brought them. They didn't want them to miss this. It was a full moon that night, and it kind of left the battlefield in a soft glow. So it was going to be perfect. Now, it's important to note that during a function like this, where they're going to be firing this thing at night, the crew informs anyone at the park and anyone that that's involved of the reenactment that this is going to be going on. Okay. Then they also make sure that there's no people within 400 yards in the path of where the cannon is.
Well, that's probably
just
a good thing.
Just to make sure nothing's going on. So one of the artillerists, he notices that there are two Union soldiers up on the bluff right where General Jackson was killed. There was also a large white-walled tent set up there. That's important. The crew is frustrated because they're ready to get this thing going. They're standing around with their arms crossed. And they tell the commanding officer what's going on. So he decides to send a couple of people, which were actually daughters of some of the infantrymen, up there to let them know what was getting ready to happen. And they were getting ready to fire their first rounds. So the two young ladies made it about halfway up the hill. And they noticed that the soldiers and the tent had just simply vanished.
Dang.
Something everybody had seen, and now it's just gone. There's actually some more that has happened in this same little stretch of the park. There was a reenactment in 2000. Several Union artillery pieces were set up exactly where Loomis Battery is. It had been 137 years earlier since the battle. So this has a tie-in to the last story, because while they were sitting around waiting for the reenactment to start, one of the reenactors who was at this previous event that we just spoke about decided that he was going to talk about the ghost and tell people. So as he's telling his story, one of the Union reenactors, he tells him to kind of stop. He says, hold on a second. And he went and grabbed another one of the men and he brings him over. And he says, okay, now go ahead and finish your story. Now his story was about the ghost from a few years earlier, obviously, that we just talked about. Well, after he finished the story, the reenactor who had just came over, that was brought over from his friend, he said that they saw two Union soldiers, but it was in broad daylight in the exact same area walking around towards Parsons Battery. He said they were even able to perfectly describe them. One of them had a beard, and he had his arm draped around his buddy's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they get a little bit closer and the two soldiers completely disappeared.
Oh, gosh. So I guess to them, they look like
regular
you
people.
You couldn't see through them or anything.
No, they look like regular people. And we're not through with this place yet. There was another reenactor. He was near the cannon on Parsons Hill. It was another one of these nice moonlit nights. And several of the reenactors decided that they wanted to take a walk on the battlefield. So they crossed down in front of the guns, and that's when they heard what sounded like a very unique sound of a thud. Now, not just any thud, a thud they were familiar with. It's the sound that's made when the rammer is pulled from the cannon's opening. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, in the front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the front. You got that thing that looks like a giant brush or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they use that to jam down the stuff.
Yeah.
But when you pull it out, it makes a thud, like a suction thing. Like, you know, almost like doing that thing with your mouth that I won't do. Anyway, it makes that sound. Anyway, the two people that heard it, they immediately whip around to the cannon, only to find that nobody's there.
That's just I don't know. That's so bizarre.
There's also been several sightings of what has been dubbed the cornfield ghost. This is a Confederate soldier that seems to wander around the cornfield looking for his unit, people assume. Right. Another odd occurrence happened during the 125th and the 130th anniversary of the Battle of Perryville. Many people have witnessed a ghostly fog around there. Well, today at the site, there's a small dry creek bed that's along the bottom of the open hill. Well, the fog appears starting at Benton White Road, and you're going to hear that name a few times, and it goes slowly along the dry creek bed until it stops at the museum on site. Reenactors claim to have heard a rattling and banging of canteens, cups, and they've heard footsteps during this strange fog. And it happened both of those years, the 125th and the 130th anniversary.
So a lot of people together hear it? Or yes. Just ran? Oh, yes. Man.
Here's that's the thing about these reenactments. In most cases, you have several people, sometimes up to 100 people. At these reenactments. So a lot of times you'll have 20 or 30 at a time in one certain area to hear these things.
I mean, that's encouraging. So you don't think you're like crazy.
Now, at this exact same place with the fog, let's talk about this fog. Here's another story that actually took place on a November night. It was around dusk. Two couples were traveling north on Old LeBaron Road. They were just driving the very last curve before the road straightens out and it leads to Perryville. They see through the mist a man just standing alone or on the side of the road. It just so happens that one of the people that were in the car had studied the Battle of Perryville extensively. He noticed something amazing about the man. He was wearing a full Confederate infantry uniform.
Nice.
Realizing this, the driver slammed on the brakes, turned the car around, but the man had already vanished. Now, there's a Confederate ghost that's been seen on three different occasions by three different people. One Confederate reenactor told a story that he had to go relieve himself during a reenactment. So, he picked an area of small cedar trees, which I'm going to tell people now, if you're not familiar with cedar trees, you need to be careful there because they have that dripping sap that's extremely sticky.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get that on your hand and you do your business, you may not be able to let go.
Stick to your wiener?
Right. You're just so nasty. Wiener. Anyways.
I could have said pee-pee hole.
He was right behind the Starkweather Hill. So while he was tinkling, a Confederate soldier walked right past him. The reenactor was really impressed by the soldier's look. Well, the soldier actually had a uniform that was dirty and weathered, and it looked really authentic. Because most of theirs kind of looked new. And, you know.
Right.
He said that the soldier's hair was also dripping with sweat. What really stuck out to him, though, was the way he carried his rifle. See, he carried his rifle campaign style, which is basically when you carry your strap and your gun where the gun faces down. The barrel of the gun faces down. Mm-hmm. That way, if it happens to rain, water doesn't get inside and wet your artillery.
Yeah.
And it also prevents injury. Keeps the soldier from shooting her head off.
Oh.
If you've got the gun facing up.
That's true. That would be a dumb move to do.
Right. So the man said he looked at the soldier and he nodded, but the soldier didn't say a word. And he just continued to walk right towards the small strip of trees that are in the back of Starkweather Hill, and he disappeared.
Well, at least he didn't walk up on him urinating.
Right. Later that day, he starts to tell a friend who was a Union reenactor about what he had seen earlier today. The friend got really wide-eyed, and he told him that he had seen that same ghost. He said he had been at the front of the park, and he saw him walking towards him from the Chaplain River. He said hi to the soldier and was completely ignored. At least that's what he thought, until the soldier completely vanished in front of him.
How cool is that?
Now, the third case involves a man that was walking through that same line of trees where the guy was taking a leak. He said that this time, though, the ghost was standing in the line of the trees, and when he passed him, passed the ghost, it just disappeared. So three different people had seen that same ghost in the vicinity at three different times.
That is awesome. We could only be so lucky.
All right, here's the last group of stories. This was many years ago on this first part. Several Union reenactors decided that they wanted to take a walk through the battlefield at night. They walk along the Benton White Road. Told you he was going to hear about it again. And they came to an intersection of Hayes May Road. Then they walked toward the Russell House. Now, I use that term loosely because the house isn't actually there anymore, but the foundation still is. Uh-huh. It's still known as the Russell House. As they approached the house, the field became eerily quiet. No frogs, no crickets, nothing. Some of the men felt like there was someone watching them. And once they get past the house, all the normal noises of the forest came back. Just in that little area, it was gone. On another occasion, some reenactors were walking along that same stretch of road. It was a warm October night, and all of the reenactors were dripping with sweat. Because you got to keep in mind, these uniforms are, the men are made out of wool, the heavy wool and the hat, and the women, you know, they had the heavy layered dresses and stuff too.
Yeah.
So it was really hot. But as they get to the top of the hills, the temperature quickly dropped. I don't mean just a little. They could soon see their breath.
That's probably a relief though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I would still
but
think
still
that's,
that would freak that's
you
not out.
Normal.
No.
So as they look out at the field, there were little small patches of fog that moved across the field as if it was small companies of soldiers were rushing to their battle line. All of the patches of the fog were rushing from all different directions to the bottom house. So,
mm-hmm.
It probably looked like when you stand over top of one of those electric football games.
Yes.
Where it vibrates and everything just kind of...
Yep. I could see it.
Now, another story about Hayes Mays Road involves several reenactors walking around. Now, along that road is a small cemetery called Whitechapel Cemetery. I knew you was going to like that.
Yeah!
Is that what they call that one in front of the church?
Yeah, it's Whitechapel, because it's on Whitechapel Road.
That's what I thought.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, one of the female reenactors, she starts looking through at some of the tombstones. And she loves genealogy, and she had remarked about the dates and how old these headstones are. Well, there was another member of the group who was also really into genealogy, so he suggested that they come back the next day mm-hmm. and do a little further investigating. But by the next day, they had forgotten, plus the two were so busy prepping for the day's recreation of the battle that they just didn't have the time to do it. And, you know, so they said, well, we don't have time to go back to see the headstones. But the next year, the same reenactors walked Hayes Mays Road. When they came to the cemetery, this was dark time, by the way. When they come to the cemetery, much to their amazement, there were no graves and no headstones that they could see.
What?
Yeah. So the next day, they decided they would go out there in daylight. Well, they go back, and they only found two graves. Those graves, though, were from 1996, and none of the rest of the property had been disturbed. So, in a sense, an entire cemetery disappeared. It was still Whitechapel Cemetery, so they weren't at the wrong place.
What in the world?
But now there was only two graves there.
Oh, that's creepy as crap. Yeah.
So, again, several people saw this.
And that'll mess with your head.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's my story on Perryville.
Very interesting.
So, I can't wait to go check it out. And there's way more stories than that. That's just barely touching the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought those would be enough to get it started.
There you go. That was pretty good.
So, Anyways, what we are going to do, we're going to take a quick sponsor break. And then we'll be right back with Hunter Redfern and then some quick announcements.
Okie dokie.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, guys. We are right at a month away from the Ohio Mysterious Circumstances Hillbilly Horror Story Show in Louisville. That is April 23rd. So it's rapidly approaching. Get your tickets now.
Yeah, you guys are in for a treat with those guys. They're crazy.
Yes, they're crazy.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
But so we got that one. Then we got our other events. I'm not going to bore you with those details right now. HillbillyHorrorStories.com. Get your tickets for that show. And then you can see all the other shows we got coming up, including the cruise, which is also rapidly approaching.
I know. Dang. I got to get my butt in gear.
Okay.
Or something. Well, I just wanted to say happy birthday to my beautiful daughter, Kristen, today. I love you so, so much. And also wanted to say that we got to spend some time with Sarita and her beautiful sister, Jennifer. They're both beautiful, beautiful souls, so much fun to hang with. We went to this awesome Mexican restaurant. I'm telling you, this place is legit.
Mi Cozumel.
I wish we had one close. Do we not have anything like that here?
No, I don't know of anything
Oh my gosh, this place is so... Oh, I just can't even tell you.
Yeah, this was in Sharonville, which is like a little suburb of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. But supposedly there's one downtown too, but I don't know if it's exactly the same. But this place
is amazing. I mean, when they come out and sing Happy Birthday, they do not play. Their food is amazing. Their drinks are... There's so many different drinks, y'all won't even know what to do.
Yeah, I think Sarita said they had 50 different margaritas. And these are like... We posted some pictures. We need to post them in the group. I mean, these are drinks that were like, some of them were like $27, $30 mm-hmm. bucks, but they literally came. It looked like an edible arrangement. I mean, it came with all kinds of fruit and candy and.
Yeah. And they were delicious too.
Some of them were inside of the small watermelons and some mm-hmm. of them were inside of pineapples and.
Yeah. I mean, but that, like I said, the atmosphere is wonderful. The food is so delicious. We had a wonderful time and we were so honored to meet those two girls and just so glad. They came and we went to, what we go to? Horror Hound
in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of fun. Got to see a bunch of cool things there. And it was a great, great couple of days.
Yeah, I got to see Nev Campbell up close.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that was his, he was excited about that one. She doesn't look like she's aged a bit.
And I got to see Adrienne Barbeau up close.
Yep. So a lot of good people there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a blast.
It was. So can I go ahead and tell you the iTunes and stuff?
Yes.
All right. This week we had the one that says Tracy 4, Mojo Lobster, Nate 8180, Donna, and Thomas Bilt. Thank you guys so much for your awesome reviews. We really appreciate it. And our Patreon was Lorenda Bennett. Thank you so much, honey, for your support. We appreciate it so much. You guys are totally awesome, and we still pinch ourselves at times because we can't believe we've been so blessed with all this. So you guys are amazing. Just keep those reviews coming and hopefully we'll get to meet a bunch of you guys at our shows coming up.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's listen to Hunter Redfern. Hey guys, you know we love to bring on actors from movies that are getting ready to come out. Obviously we had the Addams Family on. And their movie Hellbender is doing fantastic. Just got listed as the number two horror movie of the year so far from USA Today. So that's pretty cool. And of course, we've had a couple other of the guys on from other movies that you've turned out to really like. And we're going to continue that tradition. Today, we've got Hunter Redfern on. He's actually one of the main actors in the upcoming movie, The Wendigo. And I saw the trailer for this. It actually looks pretty good. It's a found footage film. And, you know, I just want to start off by saying, Hunter, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
So the movie looks extremely fun. I'll let you tell everybody what the premise of the movie is. What's the movie based on?
The premise is we have this influencer whose name is Logan. You know, he has a following, calls him the Logan Lovers. And at the beginning of the movie starts off with, I'm not going to give away too much, don't worry. It starts off with him pretty much doing his thing, going into the woods, you know, looking for this Wendigo, I guess, because his followers are telling him what to do. You know, it goes with the whole stigma with the influencers, you know, their followers telling them what to do and doing all that. And he goes out there and more or less, you know, something happens and it's pretty much live streamed. So all his influencer friends, me being one of them, Jay, and there's Jay, Cassie, Taylor, and Matthew. Us four more or less get together and we're like, hey, let's go find him and document it. And when we go document it, stuff happens. And we originally we all think he's just messing around with us. He's just, you know, we're gonna find him and then he's gonna try and prank us. But you know, we go out there anyway just to document it, because no matter what, we get to get some footage. You know what I mean?
Yep. Now, this is a horror movie, but it's got some comedic elements as well. You were telling me earlier, there's a lot of improv that actually went into this as opposed to what the original script was. Tell me a little bit about what it was like being on the set, because how long were you guys on the set to begin with?
We were there for 5 days. They rented out a campground, and I think they said not to say what campground it was. But
fair enough.
But yeah, we went to the campground and it was rented out for 5 days. We got to stay in cabins. It was really fun. They had food for us. We got to, they cooked us breakfast. Oh my God, the bacon, dude. Oh, I had bacon every morning and it was so good. But in regards to filming the movie, we had a script and I was all about the script at the beginning. And there's this one line, I think I can say it because it's not even in the movie because they all looked at me like I was an idiot when I said it, is I talk about this guy bringing a bunch of gear and I say he has gear acquisition syndrome. And it was part of the script. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to say that's part of the script. And I'm like, you got that gas, that gear acquisition syndrome. And they look at me like, I'm like, dude, it's in the script. And we wound up taking that out and just adding some improv. And what was so great about it is we did that like the whole time. Like we had added a love thing, which wasn't even in the movie or in the script, between me and this Taylor person. And I'm not gonna give away too much of it, but pretty much it's a little rekindling of sorts from us two. And we improv'd it all, which was very, very fun to do. Well, pretty much while we're all like walking through the woods doing all our thing. And yeah, I think it, like improving a lot of the movie made it a lot more natural, since it's supposed to be natural. It's supposed to be, we have a camera, we're going out there looking. So
right,
like having that, those natural reactions instead of like scripted reactions made it feel a lot more real. You know what I mean?
Now you said this is probably, it's going to be released towards the end of the year is the plan, October or so. And of course, you're going to hit the regular circuit of film festivals and stuff like that. So obviously, we wish you guys the best of luck on that. You've seen, am I assuming that you've seen the finished product already?
No, it's still being edited. It's okay. It should be done. I'd say around June.
May, okay. June,
because we just got done filming end of February, and the director and the person who's editing have had some things they had to finish, and then they're gonna spend all their time editing the Wendigo, which should be around right now. So it's probably gonna take them about a month or two, maybe three. And what? Sorry, go ahead.
Nothing. Go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
I forgot my thought, to be honest.
All right. Well, then we'll move on. So you were telling me earlier that you were actually a late acquisition to the movie. Tell everybody that story. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We, this movie was actually in the works for about 2 years, and 3 weeks before they started filming, I guess an actor dropped out, and they posted in the, 1 second, please get out of here. My dog. 3 weeks before it started, they posted in the North Carolina filmmakers and actors, and it's a Facebook group. And they're like, hey, we need this 25, 22-year-old influencer type. And I'm like, oh, I'll apply for the role. Why not? And he wound up messaging me about an hour later. And I was at a Mexican restaurant with my girlfriend. And I said to my girlfriend, 1 second, babe, business call. And I go outside and he's like, hey, he Facebook called me actually. And he was like, hey, can you do an audition in an hour? I'll send you the script. And yeah, it's going to be on Zoom. And I'm like, yes, of course I can. And I go back in, and I don't even think we had gotten our food yet. And I'm like, we got to box this up when it gets here.
Yeah, grab that stuff. Let's go.
And yeah, one thing led to another. We got home. I studied for a little bit, and they liked my audition, thankfully. And then 3 weeks later, we just started filming.
What was the chemistry like on set between all you guys?
Amazing. Amazing. Me, Taylor plays Kaylee. Me, Taylor, Laura, Matthew, and Logan, and everybody on set. It was like a giant family. Everyone was funny. Everyone just clicked. It was one of those moments where, one second, let me close my door. My girlfriend just comes in. I didn't even tell her that I was doing a podcast. She just thinks I'm crazy. But
yeah, she's like, first you make me box up the food. Now you're talking to somebody.
Why is the door locked? No, but yeah, everyone on set. It was the first day was a lot of those scenes with Logan. Because Logan was, he's by himself a lot and he was doing those solo videos. And that gave us, everyone who's part of the cast, where we're all filming together, time to kind of like feel each other. And I think that's what the point of it was we all got to feel each other. We all got to just talk and build rapport. And it really just helped. Like we all just clicked and everybody was awesome.
I said, that's the thing about a smaller budget film. Like I said, you guys just pretty much stayed a week in cabins and stuff with a lot of time to intermingle. When you get some of these big budget films, I mean, I've talked to some actors before that were on the set with Robert De Niro, and they're like, yeah, I was in the movie, but I never met Robert. And it's like, it's amazing that you could be in a movie with somebody and actually be in like not just an extra, but actually be in several scenes, but never meet the star of the movie because you didn't do a scene with them. You know, it's because a lot of these big stars, they'll stay in their trailers or whatever until they have to come out and do their part. And then they're done. But in a smaller budget movie, that's usually not the case. Everybody's a lot more. I guess I could say the egos are a little bit smaller and everybody just looks at themselves as equals.
And I've been on some sets where I'm also where you got people who, like, this is a low budget film or TV show, and they just got the biggest egos, and it's like, dude, like, let's all just have a good time. Like, no one's better than anyone else. And yeah, let's just hang out and have make a movie or a TV show.
Now, you live in North Carolina. Is that where you're from, or did you move there because of the movie industry? I know a lot of people move because Wilmington is an area where they put out a lot of movies, and you know, same thing with Atlanta, and you know, people, not everybody wants to be on in Hollywood, so they'll go to the East Coast for these things. Is that why you're in North Carolina, or are you from North Carolina?
I'm actually from North Carolina. I feel like I'm very fortunate because I'm actually from like around Wilmington, just outside Wilmington. And I recently moved to Wilmington, probably, well, recently, like 4 years ago. And what's so nice about Wilmington is it's like a triangle between Atlanta, Charlotte, and Knoxville, Tennessee. And Wilmington is pretty much just right there. And it's really cool just to be able to, if I wanted to go to Charlotte, if I want to go to Atlanta, and even Knoxville, there's a lot of stuff happening in Knoxville now. And I got that country boy look, and I can do that country boy twang, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. We love the Knoxville area. We go to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge all the time. So we're constantly, we go there 4 or 5 times a year. So that's, matter of fact, we're going back again in May. So yeah, that's our area. And I love that area. Just beautiful scenery everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, me and my girlfriend and my best friend, his girlfriend or wife, Wanda, went to Knoxville, and oh my gosh, it was so probably one of the funnest, most expensive nights of my life. Oh my God. Oh, and also Gatlinburg is so fun. Oh, I love it.
So we should go. Yeah. I mean, hey, like I said, you can go there anytime. There's a good chance we'll be there that weekend. Like I said, we love to go there. That's where we got spent our honeymoon at. We usually go every year for our anniversary. And then, like I said, about every 2 or 3 months, we go back to Gatlinburg. Or if we're, you know, we were coming back from Asheville, North Carolina. We're coming back from Florida, actually, but we stopped in Asheville. And my wife's favorite restaurant is Old Mill. They're in Pigeon Forge, and it was her birthday that morning we were leaving, and I drove a little bit out of the way back from Asheville to go by there just to stop and get her breakfast on her birthday.
Oh, that's special. You're a good man.
I try. It's cheaper than divorce. So, well, with today's gas prices, an extra hour out of the way may not be cheaper than divorce.
Like, honey, we can't get a divorce. These gas prices are too high. We need a carpool, babe.
So let me ask you this, because this is curious to me. You said with the little love interest deal in the movie that you kind of improvised that with your character and the other character. How did your girlfriend feel about the fact that you just improvised a relationship in the movie that wasn't originally there?
Well, there was one line in the movie where it was like, what, Jay and Kaylee are like a thing. Like, there was one line, and me and Taylor talked for a little bit, and we're like, yeah, let's see if Jake wants us to build upon this. And what's so funny is Kaylee, the character's name of the girl, is actually my girlfriend's name, so it made it so much easier to do. But no, my girlfriend's cool with it. She knows it's not really nothing serious. So, but at first, oh my God, what? I can't say that. I can't reveal it. It's too. I don't want to. I can't spoil anything.
So, how many television shows, movies have you been? Have you? Acted in so far?
Honestly, I'm just starting out. I've been more of on dance and theater for the past 4 or 5 years, especially mainly in Wilmington. And I'm part of this dance group called Tech Moje, dance and theater company. And we've been to New York. We've performed a lot in Wilmington. And recently, within the last year, I've been wanting to sort of go away from theater and dance because, for one, I'm 6'3", 250, 260 pounds, and your boy's a little stiff. And my role in the dance group is the guy who picks people up and puts them down. But makes I'm in sense. The middle. But I'm in the middle, so like I get to be center stage, just like doing all this stuff where I'm picking people up, throwing them in the air. And I'm like, dude, I have 4 or 5 years of dance, quote unquote, experience, but I don't know how to dance. So I was an extra for this TV show called Out of Touch. It's about mental health. And the director was like, hey, we want you to go on the dance floor, do some freestyling. And I'm like, dude, I'm stiff, bro. I can't. He's like, my friend was like, you're part of a dance group. And I'm like, oh my God. He's like, why are you holding out on me? I'm like, oh no.
And I would think, even though dancing might not be your forte, I would be willing to bet you probably got a nice career ahead of you in acting. I mean, you've got the look, you've got that the kind of like the romance novel cover look. I mean, you've got the good looks and the long flowing hair and all that stuff. And, you know, it's, you got the look. I mean, surprised if you don't end up making it somewhere along the line, if you just put the effort into it, because you know, as well as I do, it takes a lot more than a pretty face. You gotta put in a lot of effort and a lot of time, a lot of work. And so I respect anybody that's in the acting business, because I've known several actors and I know what they, you know, what they have to sacrifice to get ahead. And it's not something I don't think I'd be willing to do, even though I kind of did the same thing as a comedian. Mm-hmm. You know, you give up a lot being on the road a lot. But you know, if you got good support, you know, and your girlfriend supports you and she's happy with just knowing what it takes to get there, that's half the battle right there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, one of the I was telling my friend about this is I'm constantly looking at the NC casting or like all the casting call place groups on Facebook. And if I wasn't checking these hourly, like pretty much hourly every day, I may not have gotten this opportunity to be part of this movie. And because I got in this movie, me and this girl Laura, she plays Cassie, they ordered a giant pizza and we volunteered to go get the pizza. And doing that, me and her talked, we were just, you know, talking, just having a good time, and we wound up becoming good friends. And she wound up actually recommending me to her talent agency, and I wound up becoming a part of that just from that. And that's how I got to be an extra on this other show that I was last weekend, and just so I could talk to the director, who was also part of the Edge agency, and that's already budding other things. So it's just having a positive attitude really helps, and just being able to talk to people.
Oh, 100% agree. It's just, if you feel like you can do it and you walk in there with that confidence level, I mean, that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish I could have that confidence when I'm dancing, dude. But I'm just too stiff, man.
Well, you have to 100% believe in whatever it is to have that confidence level. I mean, that's like me. If you want to talk about comedy, I feel like I can walk on any stage and make somebody laugh. Didn't matter. I've been in front of some messed up audiences, from strip clubs to, you know, I've been in on stages where it was an all black crowd and I was the only white person there. Mm-hmm. I've been in stages where it was elderly people at a nursing home. And so, I mean, but you have to be able to adjust and adapt, but I always had that confidence that it didn't matter what stage I was on and who the audience was, I could make them laugh. Now, you put me about two or three other different types of situations, I will have no confidence and no self-esteem that I could do it, you know, but it's what you know you're good at, as opposed to what you think you might be okay at. So I could understand that with the dancing as opposed to the acting.
I when I would do open mics, I haven't done them in a while. I want to, But I remember just going up there thinking that, hey, if I bomb, and I bomb, obviously, like, you know, just doing open mics, you bomb sometimes. Like thinking, oh, if I bomb, yeah, it's going to be funny. It's going to be funny to me. So no matter what, dude, it's going to be fun. Like, and just the positivity and confidence put together when doing something really is a plus to have in anything.
Awesome.
To build upon what you're saying.
Well, Hunter, it's been super fun talking to you. And mm-hmm. let's do this. Yeah. When the movie comes out, let's do this again, and maybe we can get a couple of the other actors.
Yes,
from I'd the love film, and we'll do three or four of you, like we did when we had the guys on from 15 Things That You Didn't Know About Bigfoot. I think we had four of us on that night, just talking about the movie and the release. And so, yeah, so let's plan to do that, and then we'll get some publicity out right as the movie's out. See if we can't get some eyes on that thing.
Nice, I love it. Thank you for having me, man. And it's been really
brother,
fun.
It's been a blast.
A really great time talking.
Awesome. Well, thank you, brother. Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that wraps it up for us. I hope you guys had a good time and learned a little bit about the Perryville Battlefield.
Yeah.
And about the Wendigo.
The Wendigo.
And just a reminder, go get your tickets for the Louisville show, because we're less than a month away.
I know, guys. Come on out. We can't wait to see you all and have a great time. And we hope you all have a blessed week, and we love you guys. Take care.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.